The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is August 13th, 2015, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docspreferred.com. Go out there, check it out, and he is sponsoring me for Iceland. He's a great guy. He's on monthly. We're going to probably try to bring him on more, too. The problem is, and it's a good problem to have, it seems like a lot of people want to come on monthly, and there's other people that I want to come on monthly. So in 2016, we're going to try it. Well, near the last few months of 2015, we're going to try to really formulate a big team here. So that's what I'm working on right now. So go out to docspreferred.com. Next, Sorinex. I thank Richard and Bert for sending me the Olympic bar that you can pull out of the power rack and press to. Go out and check that out at Sorinex.com or dial 803-978-2253, extension 111, and tell them Motivation and Muscle sent you. Hearts Collision. They're local. They're New York State residents only. Go out to heartscollision.com, 518-477-7937. Alex, who owns it, Alex and Laurie Verardi, I'm training their son who's 14. He's making monumental progress. He's a basketball player, 6'1" already. But he's decided he likes strongman, so it looks like we're going to get him set this winter to go out and do some strongman lifting and winning. That's what I want him to do. Great kid, listens, and he's going to do well. I mean it. He's like a sponge. So go out to heartscollision.com. And I told everybody before, we talk about sponsorship here. If you go out to Fiorello Barbell Co., it's only $300 a month. And Chris can do any type of branding, which is extra. We want, it doesn't matter, working men and women, man, hard hat, people that turn wrenches, people that are using torches, sledgehammers, digging. To me, that all goes with the lifting and the stone carrying and everything because these are men and women of might. Next, I want to talk about Hearts Collision. Laurie and Alex Verardi, that's 518-477-7937. Give them a call. Like I said, I've got young Alex here. He's doing phenomenal. Next year, we're going into strongman, and I expect to have him up over the winter and the spring. We'll have him up to 190 pounds. He'll be devastating what I want to do with him. It's a lot of fun. Good kid. He learns, he listens, and he's doing very good. I'm very proud of him. So go out to heartscollision.com. Next, obviously, we want to go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. and download the free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. 10 paragraphs make you think, make you do, make you excel, and obviously you're going to learn to take and put things into action. No pictures of girls, no nothing in it, man. It's bare bones, and that's the best way to learn and train. Go out and give it a try. See for yourself, FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Also, the Winner's Circle, that's the 12 modules I've talked about, all recorded audio, 27 to 34 minutes, taking it from the beginnings right through to my love of the power rack, sandbag domination, the return of iron boots, lots of things that I've done, lots of things I've had built or had built to be able to continue on to the lifting I want to do, because I don't have a hell of a lot of training partners that want to do that stuff. So go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. for that and check it out. And the guy that does it all together, puts the sites together and all the stuff I'm talking about is Chris Bigelow, monsterdevelopment.com, 1-800-687-1609. Tell Motivation Muscle sent you. Well, today we have David Whitley here. He was with us maybe about a month ago, and we're trying to keep him on monthly. We've got a lot of people that I really like on this show that are wanting to come on monthly, and I guess this is a good thing. I'm not always able to find a place to put them. David, right now, I didn't tell him offline. This is my 13th podcast since Saturday. which yesterday when I was talking to Logan, when I was talking to Logan Christopher, man, I was losing my voice near the end because we're talking some major vocal stuff here. Tomorrow morning, David would definitely appreciate this. I have Drew Reed on from the Paul Anderson Youth Home.
Yeah.
Glenda no longer lives there. She's in Colorado, but we are going to get her on. He came the same year Paul passed away, 25 years ago. He'll be on with us at 9 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to talk about the 55s and the 59 Olympics with Paul, with Drew about all that. And we're going to hit Paul Anderson from a different angle, an angle you've probably never heard of. And, you know, the way he was so, he dedicated his life to these young men that were in deep trouble, a lot of them. And he turned most of them around, and they're all, you know, they've contributed to society, which is the way it should be. Paul was an incredible human being, and I can't wait to talk to Drew tomorrow because I really have always wanted to know different things about him. We all know how strong he was and what and somewhat what he did at that youth home, but now we're going to really get the whole idea of what it is, so I can't wait. So we'll talk to Drew tomorrow morning, but that's tomorrow. David Whitley, for any of you who don't know about him, he's called the Iron Tamer. He does feats of strength, and one of his big feats of strength is old-time strongman. He does the side bend, and the bent press, they call it. I call it a side bend, and he can correct me on that. This guy is incredible, man. I mean, all these guys that come on here, it's very impressive to see what they do. And we're going to talk about success today, and David and I really strike good notes with this stuff. I like the style we talk and all that. We're going to bring him in 1 second, but we're going to talk about that. David, welcome to Motivation Muscle, and I want you to give a bio out on yourself, and we're going to start right into the great theme of success.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for having me on. It's glad to be back on. I think that you're doing very good stuff here. I think this podcast is overall setting itself apart from other stuff in the strength podcast world and the podcast world in general. And
thank you.
I like what you're doing with it. So it's good. Your passion is obvious, and I think that as we get further talking about just a general concept of success, it'll some dots will get connected for people who've been listening to you for a while between what I hear and what they hear and what I'm going to talk about today, I think. I'm based in Nashville. I own a gym. I run, I'm one of the Paul McElroy's Amazing 12-Week Physique Transformation Coaches here in the state. So I'm all about helping people get better and become better versions of themselves. I'm a strong first master kettlebell instructor, so I travel around and do workshops with that. I'm a performing strongman and motivational speaker, even though that kind of comes off as kind of a douchey term sometimes. It really is the best term, I think. I found that there are a lot of people in the speaking business that try to come up with cool, cutesy names like Inspiratainment or, you know, motivational, and that's all clever and good, and you're trying to set yourself apart. But when people go on the internet and they look for someone to come speak at their event to get people riled up and to get them thinking about stuff, they look for motivational speakers. So I'm going to keep calling myself that because I want people to keep contacting me for those kinds of things. So that's I've been involved in strength for a long time, since I was a kid. We talked about that before, about Lou Ferrigno and the Hulk and
the Hulk,
growing
yep.
up in that era. And just I'm all about helping people become the best possible version of themselves that they can be. And it just so happens that for me right now, primarily that involves being able to get up in front of a crowd of people, destroy perfectly good household items, and talk to people about the way they think about things.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
So
go ahead.
I know that last time I was on, you and I that call was the first time we had ever had a chance to like really talk to each other very much prior to the call, and so we had more in common. I knew we had a lot in common. We had more in common than I realized as that call happened. So I'm really proud to be a part of what you're doing here.
Thanks, David, and I appreciate the compliments too, because I think I just told you offline, if I'm repeating myself, forgive me on this one. This guy, Russell Furr, he's on Facebook, and he's followed me for a while. And it was great because, you know, the stuff I'm hearing from people like Mike Gillette wrote, you know, I had put up one of our recent podcasts. And I mean, the words I know, especially with him, too. I mean, very nice stuff, man. And I'm not an ego head, but it's nice to hear people that appreciate you, too. And Russell was hilarious. I don't know what pod he listened to. And he writes me a note, and it was great. He's like, I got to tell you, man, the show that you just did, the testosterone was dripping out of my speakers, literally. All right? Now, for a guy, that's the nicest thing you could ever say to me, man. And he's like, you know, your stuff is just so easy to digest, and it's got such energy in it. And he goes, I hope if I'm ever in upstate New York, I can stop by FBC and train with you. I said, call me up, man. If I'm there, come on by. If you don't want to train, you come look at the place. It's a one-car garage loaded to the gills with equipment, homemade, two power racks, a third one that can go up. You know, next year we're going to build a backlifting machine. I've got a couple other things where we're going to put like a big steel pole beyond the frost line and run big tow chains with a 30-gallon barrel, and we're just going to pull that thing on our knees up to the top, loaded with steel and junk and iron. There's a ton of shit I'm going to do. We're going to turn the corner and start making some serious money with the company. And not only that, we are putting out a product, in my opinion, and with the people that have joined me, we are second to none. And when I say we're going to have a million plus people, I promise you we're going to do that before I leave the earth, because we offer something I feel nobody does. We offer content that most people would charge for, number one. But the content that we're delivering, like with David and I today, everything we talk about, we've done. This is not like some guy that's sitting on a chair and scribbling something down and going out and saying, oh, yeah, I do this and do that. We go and we are authentic, and that's what I think people really appreciate. And the second thing is this, I get from a lot of people, they're really tired of listening to these podcasts and these other shows where the world is falling down, the sky's tumbling in, you know, the negative, negative. I got news for you, and I remember it wasn't that long ago I was living that rat race where you're driving in half-hour traffic and you're like, I don't want to go to this fucking place again today. and you know what? You turn on Motivation Muscle and they're saying to me, you know what? It'll get me to get home to go train, whether it's at midnight or 5 at night. And the thing is, it's like sometimes, you know, you're cracking funny shit. One guy who's a doctor down in Arizona, he said, I was coming home at 12:30. I almost drove off the road. I was laughing so hard one night. I think that's a great thing. When I get things text to me, I haven't trained in 10 years. I listen to your show. Guess what? I'm back training again.
Nice.
Right, David? I mean, that's where we make a difference.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, it is. And there's no need for me to come out and say the sky is gray and you can't make any gains. And, you know, you can't. Here, you can. Here, you can reach the monument of success that you want. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. I'm going to lead right into this. And you know something? You're not hopeless. I want to tell everybody out there. And I told, I think it was when Will Dinwiddie was on yesterday, and I told him flat out, I'm getting real tired of hearing about, well, I do this and I do that. In this house here, I don't care if you lift a 450-pound stone or a 100-pound stone. As I had Gareth Denyer on yesterday, and two students of his, they're 25 now. They've been with him since they were 15 years old. They played college football, the whole thing. And they came on with him, so it was four of us. I don't know these guys. They listen to the show. And the first thing they said to me at the end, thanks for letting us come. I know we, you know, basically aren't worthy of your show. I was like, that's where you're wrong. That's the same way that gentleman texted or left a phone message that day, and I called him back, and he's like, this is Eric Fiorello, Motivation Muscle. I said, yeah. I said, you left a message. He goes, I can't believe you're calling me. I said, why? He's like, well, look at what you've done. I said, I don't give a shit if I do it or I don't do it. Someone leaves me a message that, you know, I can understand and it's not a joke, I'm going to call you back. That's respect. I talked to that man for an hour, man, and that's the guy. He's out buying equipment now. That's what it's all about. But what I'm saying is, with those guys yesterday, everybody's got an opinion, man. It's important, and I don't care, like I said, if it's a 450 or 100. You're drawing from people's experiences, and it can't do anything but help you who's out there listening, and it helps me. It might help David. I never turn my back on anybody.
What you're saying, you know, we talked about this. I don't remember if it was on the last call or before the last call. We were kind of getting to know each other a little bit better. Is we were talking about Pantera.
Yeah.
And everybody who's a Pantera fan, who's my age, who was there when it happened, if they saw the band live, you know, it seems like everybody has their Dimebag story, right? And one of my fond memories and the thing that really impacted me hugely in all aspects from that moment forward was an in-store meet and greet thing that Pantera was doing, and Dime and Phil were there. Signing records and posters and whatever the hell, you know. And so my buddy had a poster, and he got Dime to sign it, and he said all these nice things to Dime, and Dime's like, man, I appreciate it. And he looks up, and he looks like he's going back and forth between me and my friend, looking us both in the eye, and he says, but, you know, I'm just a music fan as much as anybody else here. I happen to be the one up there doing it.
Yep,
so that kind of thing, when I get an email or a text or a Facebook message or a comment on Facebook or whatever, any of the multitude, thousands of ways that people can communicate in this day and age, from someone who says something that I did or said or that I was a part of that had a positive impact on them, that's what I really dig, because I'm just like you. I'm in this because I would be doing it by myself. I've done it, and I'll probably be doing it later today. I'll be doing it by myself out there in the weather with nobody else around, and to be able to get to talk about it and to have someone else, you know, connect with that and have it resonate with them and adjust the way that they're vibrating so that they're like, yeah, that's what I'm about. That's what I want to do, to be inspired that way. I love it. That's what this whole thing is about for me, because it's all about everybody getting better.
Yep. And we love what we do. Hey, I got to go out tonight too. I'm going to test stones again, see how the shoulder feels. And I'm going to do my first barbell rows, and I can't tell you how long. I want to see how the back feels. You know, all the upper, the trap, the rhomboid area, all that stuff that's been hammered. Am I going to go and try to pull a 400-pound row tight? Absolutely not. I probably won't go over 200. Because this is the, you know, when we talk about success, you build successes a little bit at a time. But this is how, if I don't get greedy and don't get real smart-assed about thing and saying, okay, I'm 100% now, let's just put it right to the floor. Yeah. We know that there could be a problem. Yeah. Maybe yes, maybe not. But I'd rather err on the side of caution, because now I can put my arm behind my head. Mm-hmm. I can grab a buffalo bar, and I can dead stop squat again. For everybody out there, that might not sound like a lot, but let me tell you something. When you haven't done it in 14 weeks, it is a lot. It's a lot for me because I love the squat, and I feel that's a man maker like a lot of other things. And let me tell you, I rejoiced. Because I love training and lifting so much, and I love goals, that stuff like that, I won't say it crushes me, but I'm not a real good student of dancing around injuries. And I know you have to, and I got very smart off this, but just little things like that in life, when you celebrate things, you know what it's going to lead to? The word success. So, David, how do you, on that note, what is your definition to you of success?
I'm glad you asked that, because that's something that I ask people a lot, and I'll come right back to that. But I want to point out that I really, really makes me smile. I'm actually smiling when I hear you talk about how excited you are to put your hands together behind your back and to be able to squat again after 14 weeks. Because what that makes me think of, well, first of all, you were able to do that, and then it was gone, and now it's back. So you have a special appreciation for it too. What it makes me think of is occasionally on Facebook or wherever, in some of the, like, you know, groups that I belong to or whatever, someone will post a video or they'll post a question, something about something that they lifted. And I don't know, just using an example, let's say they're talking about kettlebell military press with one arm, and they press, it's a guy, it's just an average guy in our hypothetical situation here. And he has done a successful press with, say, 24 kilos or 28 kilos with one arm for the first time ever in his life. So he went from wherever he was to now say he can press 24 kilos, which is, you know, 53-ish pounds. And and he'll put up this video, and it looks great, and there's all these people saying good things, nice things to him about it. And almost without exception, when someone's kind of green like that, they are apologizing. Like, well, I know this isn't as much as, like, a lot of other people can do here, but – and I'm like, stop it.
Exactly.
Stop it. Do not ever apologize for your strength, no matter what level it's at. Do not ever apologize for what it took you to get to wherever you are. And do not ever apologize or feel bad about the drive to be successful. Mm-hmm. So I will celebrate someone who's a new lifter pressing 24 kilos over their head for the first time just as much as I will celebrate when you come back from Iceland after you've walked that stone around the pen.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that, because I'm gonna put a beating on myself like I've never had. And to be honest with you, I'm ready for it. I've been sitting. I think I told you I use the safety squat bar. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not a big fan of it. I'll tell you why. I think I told you. Maybe it's my setup, and obviously I'm doing those dead stop too. I don't like the way the bar sits on the left side of my neck.
Yeah.
It seems to put a lot of pressure on the axis, which is the top of your neck for everybody. I'm not one who likes to screw with his neck, because my chiropractor, who passed away last year, who was a Palmer graduate. Now, he was in his early 80s, so he was in, like, the, you know, with the it's changed.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way, all right? He was in when it was real hardcore. I mean, he knew his shit, and he never believed in the crack, bang, boom. And, you know, his words still echo in my head about stuff like that, because we all know if you break the neck, you're either paralyzed or you could pass on, too. So what stopped me from doing that and what got me back into the Buffalo bar was I knew it was going to bother me a little bit, but once I warmed up, I had a lot of range with the arm behind me. Now, the last few squat workouts, obviously, they've been a lot better. In the early stages, it's a little tight, but by the second, third set, you never even know it's there. And it's going to keep getting better and better. But the point of the matter is, these little things, you know, like David said, it's true, man. I have passion for this sport. I've had it my whole life, as far as I can remember, when I started, you know, as a real young boy. And, you know, like yourself, hey, look, we used to go to these Y's, man, and YMCA, I should say, if no. Those older guys used to beat the shit out of us, dude. I mean, we'd be bugging them and stuff, asking them stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be down at this place. They had a furnace next to you, and it was hotter than shit all summer. They had the furnace going, it seemed like. And they had this old crude stuff, but everybody down there was big, and they were playing all this shit and whatnot. And we'd come in, and, you know, you're smart-ass, like, 13-year-olds, and you'd walk around. Those guys could have jacked us through a wall anytime they wanted. And they pushed. David, you know, it's funny. When we were little, we'd go to the Y, and, of course, you know, we'd get the crap beat out of us a lot of times.
Yep.
And, you know, the bigger guys, you know, the whole thing. We were pain in the asses to them. But the point was, I always wanted to learn, you know, and you're trying, and then you meet other people that you get a little bit further and further. And with success, I mean, I'm going to get your definition in a second of it. It's funny because, you know, you don't even realize it subconsciously that you're building. And when you're very passionate about something, when you're very goal-oriented, when you want to get bigger and stronger, and maybe not know where you're laying out here, where you're going to be, it's very interesting, like you and I talk about this. You know, you magnetize people into your life. I don't care what anybody tells you. The things you think, the things you do are going to bring in a lot of the situations you're going to get involved in. And I've been very fortunate because I've trained with some very good lifters over the span of my life. And, I, you know, I had my brother and my best buddy, and we severed all our training, and we didn't speak for 10 years. But I got news for you. That was a bad thing, but the good thing that came out of it was this. Training alone made me a better lifter. Training alone, right? Training alone made me more creative. Training alone, well, not only for the job loss and my brother and all that that influences everything with the show, I wouldn't be here talking to you or anybody else because it was the drive, the mental drive to succeed constantly that led to all this. There were so many people that told me, podcast show is not worth doing. It costs you too much money. You know, I want $3,000 to do it. Well, I have a programming background, so guess what? I went and did it. I read YouTube, everything I had to do, built the whole thing, right? Yeah. And then hooked up with Blueberry that does all my hosting and all that. Here we are today. I think I'm up to, I want to say I think I'm up to my 258th show in less than a year. Yeah. So,
well, and the thing about that, if you think that doing a podcast is a bad idea, if you think it's too expensive, if you think it's not a viable dream or whatever, then don't do a podcast.
Exactly.
Just that's fine. It's the easiest thing in the world to not do a podcast. I don't do a podcast. But if it's your dream and it's your thing that you want to do, there is no amount of me telling you it's a bad idea that's going to make you honestly believe me. And you will either do it or you won't. And if you do it, then you find out. And if you don't, you're going to wonder.
Absolutely. And I was on the other day, I was on my first live show. I was on the Sports Doctor with Dr. Weil, and he has some big name people on there. And now he's joined me. He's on every month now. And he's an outstanding guy, and he's been around forever. I mean, he's trained like Connors and all these different, especially tennis athletes, all this stuff. And I was on his show, what was it, a week ago Wednesday, and it went off fine. I mean, it was an excellent show, and he told me the show's done super. And here's a guy that has a show that I believe downloads a minimum of 30,000 downloads a show. That's enormous.
Fantastic.
Man. Plus, you're on live. You know, we got our brand out big time, and he kept announcing the websites and all that. I love this stuff, and I just think I got a good voice for it. I've been told that. A lot of people thought that I'd done radio. I've never done radio in my life. It's just something I like to do. I like to talk to people. I like to get their opinions. I like to give my opinion, and I like to get information out to people that, look, I know a lot of guys on this show have written books. I think books are great. I love sitting down and reading any type of material. But, and here's the big but, it's never going to get out the way we can do with this show. Because once we're discovered, people are going to just keep coming back and listening and telling other people. That's where I think we've got the leg up on a lot of things. And that's important to me because you want to buy a book, that's fine. I think it's great. But if you want to listen to enough material where you could fill multiple books, you're at the right place. So let's go into success. How do you, in your own life or however you want to put it out, what does success mean to you?
You know, it's funny. I will, when I'm doing a strongman show and I'm talking to people about what it's really all about, which is how the mind controls everything and how impossible is a job description and all of that kind of stuff. I will very often ask the entire crowd of people, however big it is, who in here truly, really deep down wants to be successful. And of course, everybody raises their hand because nobody's like, well, no, I don't want to be successful. Screw that. I'm perfectly content to be a loser. Because even the people who don't consider themselves to be successful want to be successful. I say, okay, that's awesome. Everybody in here wants to be successful. That's very much a natural human drive. We want to be a success. So I said, the next question I have for everybody is, what is the definition of success? And I'll encourage people to raise their hands and start throwing stuff out. And it's really interesting to me how everyone says that that's something they want to do or have or be. But very few people can give you a concise, definitive, repeatable explanation of what it means. Because, you know, you'll get like, well, I guess it kind of means to be happy and to not have a life that sucks and to sort of have some money once in a while. But that's not really that important as long as you're happy. Oh, just stop it. Keep thinking along those lines, but actually sit down and define the thing that you want. If I said, hey, Eric, let's go on a road trip. You'd be like, okay, great. Where are we going to go? I don't know. Let's just get in the car and head to
drive.
Or how about this? Let's go to California.
Yep.
Well, where in California? You know, how do we get to California? Oh, let's just head west. sooner or later we'll wind up somewhere there, and we could wind up, you know, in some desert in the middle of California, and we met the objective. So I encourage people to come up with a definition that suits themselves, and then I will offer my own definition. And I didn't come up with this, but I adopted it from a guy named Earl Nightingale. I don't know if you're familiar with him
Earl
or not.
Earl Nightingale, famous.
Yeah.
Yep.
His definition, the one that I've adopted, is very simple, but it's very concise, and I've yet to find a reason to change a single word of it. And it is, success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal.
Yep.
Now, say that again. Success is the progressive realization of a worthy ideal. And so if we just take that sentence and dissect it for a second, let's start with the most important part, the ideal itself. What is an ideal? Okay. I like the idea, I like the definition of that as an ideal is an idea that you've fallen in love with.
Exactly.
So like for you, you had this ideal of the Husafell Stone.
Yep.
And even though you haven't gone over to Iceland and completed that objective yet, every single thing that you do that directs you or that moves you in the direction of doing that is a part of the road to success that goes there. So I'll be completely 100% frank with you. I have no interest in going to Iceland and picking that stone up right now.
Exactly.
I've never done any stone lifting. And if I was going to do stone lifting, I wouldn't start out by going to Iceland. I would talk to some people who know how to make the stone thing happen here locally. So,
absolutely.
So for me, I'm doing nothing that is moving me in the direction of carrying that stone. But you're doing just about everything in your training is moving you in that direction. So
Correct. Does
that mean that you're successful and I'm not? No, it means that we have a different ideal. And so the progressive realization of the worthy ideal, is completely up to the individual. What is the thing that resonates with you? And it doesn't have to be about lifting. Very often it does, but it doesn't have to be about that. The other worthy ideal that I see happening with you that's definitely a bigger deal and going to have as much or more impact as the Husafell Stone is this whole notion of the podcast that you were talking about a few minutes ago. You've got your eyes on a target, and you are progressively realizing that. You said something a minute ago about when it's discovered and it takes off. I got news for you. I'm pretty sure it's already been discovered, and it is taking off.
You're correct.
Yeah, from this perspective.
I misspoke for sure, but yeah, I'll tell you what, you're right with Iceland too, and I understand. You know, stones aren't your thing. Maybe someday you might want to try them, but I'll tell you right now, I bleed stone out of me. Everything I do bleeds, and. Tonight we'll go out in bent row. Not literally, but it will be bleeding off me. Everything.
Absolutely.
Wet, the whole deal. You know, whether it's going to be passion, frustration, completion, goal, success, it's all there tonight. We don't know how I'm going to react to anything. It might feel so good. Hey, look, I'll tell you what, David. I can't wait to go out there and shake that fucking bar as hard as I can before I row that thing. I'm talking a row. I see a lot of people on Facebook doing rows, and I don't classify them rows. When I row, I'm dipped, flat back, and I'm pulling to the belly button, looking straight ahead. I don't like when I see these people. They look like it's a half a deadlift, and they're all like, well, I'm pulling 500. I'm like, that ain't a row, man. You know what I mean? It's like, if you want to use straps and chalk, I could care less. That's fine to get a bigger lift. But to me, and I guess if you want to heave it up, do it. But with this thing here, I want to keep my form super tight, and then I might even go back and forth. I'll have the Husa steel sitting at a certain point in the rack with a homemade holder for it. And tonight, I'll put it at whatever level I want. But I've already made my mind up. I'll be putting half sheets of plywood underneath my feet. Obviously, if anybody doesn't know, that's going to get you close to the next pin down below you.
Yeah.
My pins are 2 inches apart. I'm sure tonight I'll be down at like second hole, and then I only have one hole at that. Because the reason why I did all this stuff is this. I like to work down the chain, especially if you had a little injury there. You get down too low, you try to come up with that thing hard. You might end up re-injuring yourself. I'm just trying to take and be smart and just keep building all the way down. And once again, I'll hit that word we're talking about. That creates success.
Absolutely.
So you know what, David, you know what people don't understand? It's this notion, and we know this because you and I talked about it before. Everybody thinks that they're going to wave a magic wand, snap their fingers, take the greatest supplement, get the greatest trainer, and they're going to hit a 500-pound squat like nothing, all right, which could be the furthest thing from the point. I've been doing this stuff long enough to know this. Yeah, I'm as eager as ever, and the wheels are spinning in my head even right now about all this stuff. And this is what I can tell you. I always say take little bite-sized nuggets out of everything, and before you know it, you got the whole thing in your mouth. Because if you try to rush things, if you try to move things too quickly, you might get away with it for a little while, and probably some people do get away with it totally, but I guarantee you one of these times you're going to go after something again and try that procedure, and you're going to get hurt.
There's a price to be paid for everything.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And the example that you just gave of using the plywood and the power rack and the progressive distance training there is an absolutely perfect example of that definition of success, because you are progressively moving deeper into that range of motion. You know, and if the you can pay one of two prices in that situation. You can pay the price of being patient and being disciplined and doing what you can do today and then doing what you can do the next day and doing what you can do the next day and stay within the limit of what you're able to do, and you can achieve it. Or you can pay the price of going balls out and making a mistake and breaking yourself.
Yeah.
And one of them is paying the price to earn the success, and the other one of them is paying the price to learn the lesson of how to earn success.
I agree. And I'll tell you this. This is another thing, and I know you know this from doing all the fine stuff you do. When I do things like that, I do it purposely too. I try to start building up a very high level of aggression because I like to be aggressive. And if you're going to go after things like that, you know from just doing the bent press or when you're bending stuff, that you got to have a certain level of aggression. Maybe you don't show it as much as maybe I do, or maybe you show it more than I do, or we show it more than other of our friends out there in the strength world. I like the idea of training alone because it forces you to be your own cheerleader. A lot of people need that rah-rah, come on, you know, slap me in the head, you know, punch me in the jaw. I don't need that shit.
It's all a distraction.
It's destruction, too.
Exactly.
You know, it's taking you literally out of your game. I've seen guys, you know, and I'm sure you have. I went to a great gym called the Steel Pier years ago. Very hardcore. And I can remember watching some of these power lifters, man, besides blowing those ammonia caps up their nose and shaking their head like they're going to blow up, right? I've seen guys cold cock them with an open hand, and you can see, I won't say they knocked them out, but they dazed them. Mm-hmm. I watch them get under the bar. Guess what? They failed.
Yeah.
Failed. And I mean literally failed. And I know it was from doing that. You know, and it's like, look, it's nice if people, you know, say, hey, come on, David, let's go. But you know already, you're already in that zone. Maybe you hear them, maybe you don't. But you have trained and prepared for this success for a long, long time.
Exactly.
I always like saying, you know, it's like better to bleed on the ground at your gym than go out on the field and get your ass kicked and bleed there.
Absolutely.
Because because a lot of times people are very unforgiving of that and whatnot. It's the same way with Iceland, all right? I've always been a guy that was never afraid to put his ass out on the line. You know, I don't think I like what I do. I lift well. I've done some great things. I'm an average guy, I figure, but I think I'm above average in a lot of things. And when I went to Iceland, I think that was an above average thing. And I went there and I knew, and this is what my opinion is of a lot of guys that are very, very strong in, let's just say, deadlifting or whatever, you know, but they have a reputation. Now, I had Rainer Wartol on here again last Saturday. And they had gone, they are all Highland Games guys, and they went to Iceland, and they all, you know, did good, and they all decided to go to Husafell to lift the stone. I think Matt Vincent's brother was the only one that picked it up and got around the pen with it. Most of the guys, now these are not pussies either. These are strong men. The majority of them couldn't even lift it. Or the one, Rayner, I think, told me it took him 7 attempts to get the thing just so he could stand up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you're lucky if you get 3 with that thing. So that just shows how exceptional he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to say to people. These guys were humbled by this thing, but it didn't sway them from doing it. And what I'm saying about it, a lot of strength athletes, they would never go and attempt something like that for that type of success because they know if they didn't lift it, you know that big image they got? That image is gone then, okay? It's far better to keep your image than take a chance. I've said this, and you want real success? Rocky Balboa said it perfectly, man, in the last Rocky movie. I remember hearing him on an interview, and I think he did the part in Rocky Balboa. And he said this, always get to a point where you can make yourself feel uncomfortable. And I was like, okay, what's he talking about here? Take yourself in a situation and make it where you basically got to crawl out of it or fight your way out of it. And he said this is what he does a lot. He would take a tennis ball and squeeze it till his hand felt like it was going to explode. He said, I put myself in a situation that was so uncomfortable to see if I could make myself. So I was talking about, you know, Rocky Balboa and how, you know, being uncomfortable. And Stallone was like, he would squeeze a tennis ball till his hand felt like it was going to explode. And I understand totally that. And I understand that you have to put yourself sometimes in situations that, you know, you got to kind of fight your way out of it, you know, and it's very important. But David, you know, tell me, you know, you're around a lot of athletes and a lot of strong guys and gals. What do you see a common denominator in all of them that shows you like the success in them? You know, like what is it about these individuals that stands out that makes you think that, wow, that one's got it, man. You know, there's success all down the line. Is there anything you pick out when you see these people?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just with athletes. It's with people who excel in whatever area of their life they happen to be exceptional at. And it's sort of a combination of you touched on this earlier about magnetizing into your life, attracting into your life the things that you think about and all that. And it's they understand inherently, whether they can express it or not, they understand that they become what they think about. We all become whatever we think about. So, you know, you're sitting around thinking about the Husafel, you're sitting around thinking about taking over the world with this podcast, and that's what you're becoming. I'm sitting around thinking about bending steel. I'm sitting around thinking about putting on a good show in front of people when I do a performance and saying things to them that matter. And so that's what I'm becoming. So the first thing is just the idea of knowing that wherever the mind goes, the rest of your life will go. So, you know, you become what you think about. And then the second part of that is persistence.
Yep.
You know, if you just, you know, kind of occasionally or spasmodically decide, hey, I'm going to go and do this thing. And then you spend, I'm going to go bend a wrench or I'm going to go lift a Husafel. And I spend 2 weeks working on it. And then I haven't accomplished it and I get distracted by something else and go do something else, then it's not that you failed, it's that you just didn't do it in the first place, you know. So those two things together kind of combine into this thing where the successful persons in whatever avenue, but we're talking about athletes specifically right now, will develop a habitual success. It's like everything that they do is moving them in the direction of that success. You know, it's whatever you want to do and whatever you want to do better is what you think about. And so you keep doing that and you keep moving in that direction. And, you know, the good news is for people who haven't been decisive and haven't figured it out and aren't doing those habits is that if you're not satisfied with the results, then you can consciously, actively, and deliberately reprogram yourself to become exactly who or what it is that you want to be and whatever it is you want to do. And it's really not that complicated a process. It just requires some consistency and some persistence.
And you know, that's the big thing because, you know, it's very hard at times. You know, you and I both know there's going to be times you go out to train where, you know, hey, we're human. You know, sometimes you're not feeling it. Sometimes you're off a little bit. Sometimes the shit that's going on in your day, sometimes you just don't get rid of it, man. I mean, I've had instances where something was gnawing at me, man, and I tried to dump it, and it was like I dumped it to the point where I could do things. But every now and then, you know, you might be just kind of even relaxing a little bit between sets, and it'd come in and get you again. And when David relates that, you know, it's like that's what they always said, what you think about most, you become. Mm-hmm. But when you're thinking about other things during the day, they can come back and come back and come back. And it takes many, many of mind changing and statements you repeat to override that problem. And that's a thing that you got to learn how to do. You got to override whatever you've been saying to yourself. Say that, you know, oh, I hate my life. Well, you say that enough and your life, you wait and see what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
In your life. Every bad thing, whether it's a flat tire the minute you wake up and get ready to go out to work, or your girlfriend calls you up and says, you know what, I've had enough. See you. Keep the furniture. And, you know, you know what I mean? It's like you go to.
And it's furniture you don't even like.
Yeah. So what you do is you have a fire and burn sale with it. Goodbye. But, you know, then you get to work and, you know, some asshole was in your cubicle and spilled coffee all, you know, on and on. And you're like, What am I going to do? And, you know, it just sets you up for failure and more people just to ride your ass or whatever. And, you know, life is good, man. The problem is everything out there is telling you life sucks. You can't get anywhere. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And the thing that I'm trying to, you know, life is good and living life is even better. And you can live a very successful, happy life. Listen to what David and I said today. It's very simple, but it's just you have to change your habits. And a lot of people are set in their ways. They've lost enthusiasm. They've lost their lust for life. And you know something? That goes to your family, to your girlfriend, to your wife, to your kids. Think about how important it is. And, you know, as I always say, be a steward of strength. You don't necessarily have to lift weights, but you can have strength in everything else you do. It's an attitude, man, and we're all attitude here. David, take it away. Sum up the show to yourself, then give all your information out because I know you and Adam got something coming up in a few days.
Yeah.
And then let me do mine, and hopefully you can stay on the line, and I'll talk to you offline if you would, please.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's if anybody doesn't know on the final product here, we've dropped the call about four times trying to do this, and so Eric's got to edit everything together, which I think is a really interesting exercise in the idea of we have an objective and distractions and obstacles keep popping up in front of us, and we just keep going through until we're finished, and both of us are laughing about it. We're like, this is almost comical now. We've been cut off from each other enough, but you know, we have an objective, and that is to do this podcast, and I'm doing my part, and Eric's going to do his, and hopefully it turns out well for the listener. Yep. I agree with you completely. Life is wonderful, and it's even more wonderful if you're living it, and what I want to do as the last thing is to give everybody who's interested in it, maybe someone's listening, and they're like, you know what, I'm that guy who walks around talking about how much everything sucks, and I'm that guy who everything keeps sucking. And I don't want things to suck anymore, but I don't know what to do about it. So I'm going to give you a very simple, step-by-step, very tangible, mechanical thing that you can do to start to change your attitude around. And you don't have to be the guy who thinks it sucks. You can be things are going great, but there's like one or two little things here and there that you want to do better. It doesn't really matter the magnitude of negativity. The steps still work, and this is and I didn't come up with this. I actually got this from, I think, from Bob Proctor. So just to give credit where it's due, but it works. I've never seen it not work. And what I want you to do is a lot of times our goals come from a place of we want to change something. And I see this like with my weight loss people a lot. I don't want to be fat anymore. Or you see it with athletes. I don't want to be weak anymore. I don't want to lose. And if you're focusing on not being fat or not being weak, then all of your attention is going on fatness and weakness. So yep. To switch that around, here's the exercise. You're going to get two separate pieces of paper. At the top of one sheet of paper, you're going to write the word negative. On the top of the other sheet, you're going to write the word positive. And then you're going to take the negative sheet, and you're going to think about the thing that you don't like, the thing you want to change, the thing that sucks, whatever it is. And in great detail, write out everything about it that you can think about it that sucks, that's terrible. You know, with regards to your body, it might be how you look or how you feel or health concerns or being weak or whatever. If it has to do with money, you can write down about how you get, like, worried and stressed out or, you know, just wherever you're limited. If it's about your, you know, you're lonely and you don't want to be lonely. You want to, you know, find the perfect person for you. Whatever it is, write it down in all of its terrible detail. And make it reflect how you feel when you feel absolutely the worst that you can feel about it. And feel that when it's happening. If you get mad or you feel embarrassed or you start crying, that's fine. Keep writing. It's all for a good reason, okay? So you spent the time and you've written that out. Now, on the positive sheet, you're going to take everything on that first page. And you're going to, well, first at the top of the page, you're going to write down, I am happy and thankful now that. And mm-hmm. after that, you're going to look over everything on that first page and rewrite it so that it's exactly 180-degree opposite of what you described. So if you wrote that you feel embarrassed when you go to the beach and you're wearing your bathing suit because you're fat, then write about how awesome you're going to feel for being lean. If it was about how embarrassed how terrible you feel because you get out of breath playing with your kids or you can't carry the groceries up the steps, whatever it is, write the exact 180-degree opposite of that on this piece of paper. So you get the idea. And write it out. Really feel it as you're writing it out and write it in the present tense. Like, this is who you are now. You're starting to get a feel for who that person is that you want to become. Because your subconscious mind doesn't make a distinction between what's real and what's imagined. And so, like we said earlier, you become what you think about. So this is a very powerful way to start exercising the ability to think about what you want to become. And then the final thing is take the sheet with all the negative stuff on it and literally set it on fire and burn it, symbolically cutting ties with it and removing it from your existence. And then carry that other sheet of paper with all the positive stuff that you wrote around with you and read it as many times a day as you can. So read it when you first wake up, read it throughout the day, read it right before you go to bed. Do that every single day for at least a month and then see what changes in your life.
Absolutely.
Very powerful exercise. Never seen it not work.
It works, and I'll tell you another thing. Index cards, write them. You got a mirror in the bathrooms, put them there. Put them in your mirror in your bedroom. You don't have to have every one, but even if you write one out, the idea is the visual effect and the reading of it. Like I said, didn't I say before, you got something negative to override it. You might have to read that card 1,000 times, but you have overridden that bad thing that's going on in your head that's repeating subconsciously without you even saying it. So
it keeps you on track. It's like if you get in the car and start driving and you keep your hands on the wheel, then you're constantly making tiny little adjustments to keep from running off in the ditch. If you just let go of the wheel, then you're going to be in a ditch inside of a mile. So this is your steering mechanism to keep you on track.
Absolutely. It's, you know something, David, success is the best thing you can taste, but here's the deal. The walk up to the stairs of success is better as far as I'm concerned. I love that word. I love getting there at the end. It would be just like going to Iceland, picking that beast up, walking 50 meters, dropping it, raising my hand, and screaming with all my might. But it's been no loss trying to get there. Been there twice, and here we go again. It's that love for what you want to do, and it's that diehard shit where it's like, I don't care what you do to me, I'm getting back, and that's the way it is. If you conduct your life, this is such a positive thing. How could you be a failure out in the real world? There's no way you can. You're not set up to fail. You might get set up to get your nose busted and fall down, but you're going to get fixed and you're going to come right back because you had that desire – for greatness, man. And greatness is different to everybody else. But I'll tell you, man, if you haven't experienced, go out and learn how to do it. It is the greatest feeling you'll ever have in your entire life. It just feels like from your brain stem down to your big toe, you have the ultimate connection. And I'll leave that to you. Say whatever you like. Give your information. I'll give mine, and we'll talk, if you would, please.
All right. Thanks again for having me on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm picking Adam up from the airport in a little less than 24 hours. We're doing a workshop at my gym in Nashville. If you are – I doubt this will be on the air before we go live with that, though. So if you missed it, then you missed it. Probably the easiest way to get to find me is to look for me on Facebook. I'm still in the midst of a website overhaul. Just look up Iron Tamer Dave Whitley on Facebook. I've got a personal page. I've got a professional page. Twitter is Iron Tamer. Instagram is Iron Tamer. I'm not that hard to find if you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. And you, if you bring some Crown Royal and some Pepsi there, you're all set, man.
Black Tooth.
We got our Black Tooth grin, man. Right.
Oh, also, I do want to – hopefully it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. I am available. I'm booking shows, strongman performances. If you liked what I said about success and that sort of stuff and you want to see somebody do some crazy feats of strength like bending wrenches and blowing up hot water bottles and all this old-time feats of strength stuff along with a message about how to find your own personal superpower and apply it to your life, I'm available for shows for all sorts of venues. If you want to get in touch with me, irontamer@gmail.com is the quickest way to do that. If you want to hook me up, or if you want me to hook you up, or however you want to call it, on a show, come and do your event. I do corporate stuff. I do colleges. I do high schools. Just shoot me an email, and we'll talk about it.
Well, next year, depending on how everything goes, you know, we're connected with muscular dystrophy. You'll be one of the people I'm going to contact for sure. I'd like to, you know, get a few of you guys here. The kids would love that. Are you all set? You got everything?
I'm good.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, HeartsCollision.com, and I'll give you their number. It's 518-477-7937. About the Fiorella Barbell, download our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Look at our winner circle. Look at our intensity training. Look at our strength times power equals success program. They're all very reasonable. We want people to be able to buy these things and get in here. I got to make a living like everybody else, but I know how it is out there, and I'll do everything I can to keep things reasonable. Don't forget to go out to Fiorella Barbell Company and look at our sponsor page. Let's work together, $300 a month. We're going to do some great things, so check that out. Also, Chris Bigelow does all our work, and he's from monsterdevelopment.com. Go out and get that or dial 800-687-1609. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. Let's see, we're on Facebook at Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle at Twitter. We're at Fiorello Eric. If you want to get a hold of me or you want David and I to do a show, just type Fiorello Barbell at nicap.rr.com. You can get a hold of me. I will talk to him if you'd like something. Or just tell us how you like the show. Also, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Write us a review. We're getting 5 stars. Anything you could do, I'd appreciate. Because now we're all over the world. We're now officially in the UK, too. I couldn't be happier. And I'll leave you with 3 things. Number one, if someone contacts you in the gym or the concrete jungle, don't be afraid to say hello to them or talk to them. You never know what kind of minds you're going to change. My mom said when we were kids, if you see somebody, don't be afraid to give them a smile or hello. That might be all they get. And third, tonight, go out and crush and lift some big hunks of iron and take some stones and turn them into dust. My favorite is, We are domination, and we are going to be over 1 million strong in listeners. Tell everybody about us, and I thank everybody for listening. I can't tell you how much I appreciate and what we're doing here. We're doing great things. David Whitman, thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thank you. Look forward to coming back.
You're coming back, believe me. David Whitley, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Go out and spread the word. Come on. Let's get bigger and bigger. Let's get stronger and stronger. And most of all, give back. Have a great week, and we'll
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.